So there's a story in the Jewish Talmud about planting trees. And a sage is walking along the road and sees someone planting a carob tree. And the sage asks the person, "How long will it take for this tree to bear fruit?" 70 years, replies the gardener. And then the sage asks, "Are you so healthy a person that you expect to live that length of time and eat the fruit?" And the gardener answers, "I found a fruitful world because my ancestors planted it for me. Likewise, I am planting for my children." We drink from wells we did not dig and eat from trees we did not plant. Our physical and intellectual and religious lives depend on those who have gone before. And following their example will lead us to plant literal and figurative trees for the world of the future. Trees are on my mind because we've just had the Jewish holiday of Tu B'Shvat. This is the new year of trees. It's kind of like Earth Day or Arbor Day on the Jewish calendar. It's usually celebrated by eating fruit. So when we're eating the first fig or grape or pomegranate of the season, it's traditional to say the Shehechianu, the blessing that was referenced in the poem we heard earlier. You might remember it when we lit the menorah. You also say the Shehechianu when you light the menorah for the first time. "Blessed are you, Spirit of life, who has sustained us, enlivened us, and enabled us to reach this moment. In this moment, we give thanks for trees we did not plant. We take note of the fruits we have among us and the seeds contained within. In this moment, we give thanks for the opportunity to plant for future generations. And we give thanks for the tools that are available for us right now. In this moment, we give thanks for the people who share the delight of planting and harvesting. In this moment, we give thanks for our combined strength that allows us to lift up a vision for the future, a future where trees, literal and figurative, shelter people we don't yet know. A future where fruit we will never taste can bring joy and beauty to the world." Yeah? Are we all done with that? Yeah. So this congregation has a lot to consider about the future. You might have heard that there's a meeting today after the service planned by the strategic planning team where we're going to discuss evocative questions about your hopes and values. So meanwhile, in the background and in various corners, I'm having conversations with your leaders about how to have greater clarity and energy for your mission going forward. The Ministerial Search Committee is quietly going about its work, and we send our most fervent confidentiality-respecting prayers for their well-being and smooth path. This is the phase of the interim period when members metaphorically link arms and get ready to leap into the next chapter as a whole congregation. And together is the key word. So the words that you've been using as your song of exaltation, set to Michael's tune just for today, and we can keep playing with that, that if you read the whole hymn, that's about people together. Not about the individual and their conscience and their individual choices. So let's unpack it. What we choose is part of what we are. And the impact of what other people choose is also part of what we are, and so are the legacies we claim. We contain multitudes. What we are as a community is shaped by many sets of choices. We gather in worship and in discernment to guide those congregational choices. What we love, we yet shall be. So if we're lucky, we get called into what we yet shall be by the Spirit of love. We will not get to perfection. It says this a couple of times in the hymn, the goal may ever shine afar. We do not have to be completely finished in our growing, in our developing, before we can take part in the work of love. We don't have to be experts to be on the journey. And yet we fix our gaze on love. I think that's what those quilts are about, right? Putting love before you. We orient our path toward what right relationship, compassion, and acceptance, framed by loving and life-affirming boundaries. We create a space where people can come for solace and challenge and inspiration. We take on the disciplines of open minds and open hearts, right? They're disciplines. If it's easy, then we need to work some more on it. The discipline of open minds and open hearts so that we can be warm and welcoming to new people who would make this path and this community their own. Because we know the goal may ever shine afar, past the horizons of our lifetimes, we build a congregation that can continue to carry people forward when we are gone. Okay, next line. The will to reach it. The commitment we bring to pursuing the path we're called to by the Spirit of love. The ways we voluntarily put our whims or our personal preferences or even our momentary comfort on the back burner so that we can travel this path together. That collective willpower is a sign of our freedom. I'm going to have more to say about freedom and responsibility in a few weeks. Here's the short version. In Unitarian Universalist theology, freedom doesn't mean doing whatever you want. It doesn't mean ignoring responsibility. It doesn't mean protection from the discomfort of learning and growth. Freedom means claiming and using our collective power to be co-conspirators with liberation, allies with the forces that create and uphold life. In the story I shared earlier, I believe that the gardener is a proxy for community. I'll tell you why I think that, why I think the gardener is not a solo act. In my first sermon to you back in August, I told you about my little garden and my battle with the squirrels. They lost interest in my tomatoes, by the way, and I had a nice second harvest. Anyway, so I'm here to tell you that any garden of any reasonable size is probably not the work of one person alone. Last summer, my kids helped with planting tomatoes and carrots and beans. They sometimes helped with watering until they got distracted. And then my partner took over. I maintain our two fig trees, but I didn't plant them. The compost pile that feeds the garden is a family affair. Anything we grow comes from shared effort. And that's my little kitchen garden, right? I'm not talking about a forest. In the story, I'm imagining that the gardener planting the carob tree is part of a family or a collective or a neighborhood cooperative working together on a food forest of diverse trees, right? So maybe some pear trees, maybe some apple trees, maybe some plum. You need at least two of each for cross-pollination, right? Can't have just one. And so in this collective, there's room for people with all kinds of different talents and abilities. And they'll organize crews for watering and weeding and parties for harvesting, classes for canning produce, rituals to preserve the seeds for the next year. And a team will need to decide, the whole team will need to decide, is this a community garden or a food pantry project or a teaching farm or a neighborhood park some kind of focus. All of these things work better when people take joy in a shared mission. This congregation is like the gardening collective, with several seasons behind them and ready to plan the next few years of crop rotation and new beds. You already harvest amazing things from your shared mission. Energetic, varied, heartfelt music brings joy and spiritual grounding to this community. Religious education for children and youth nurtures a sense of belonging and connection with the interdependent web. Lay ministers help members feel seen and heard and cared for. Groups like Green Sanctuary and the Racial Justice Task Force and the new Rainbow Alliance bring people together to raise awareness within the congregation and to transform society at large. I'm going to go on more later, especially during the stewardship campaign. But there are many fruits. And these fruits are the results of your shared ministry. And contained within them are some of the seeds for the future. Now, there might be other seeds available to you through organizational partnerships or new ideas or surprises yet to come. So with gratitude for the fruit of the trees that you did not plant, what will you grow for the people who have yet to arrive? What will you grow for the people who have yet to arrive? I believe that the purpose of a Unitarian Universalist congregation is to connect with and celebrate and share and expand the reach of the power of love. The power of love. Connect with it, celebrate it, share it, expand its reach. Within that broad description of purpose, there are many ways to be a UU congregation. There's lots of ways to approach that. Every congregation has its own path, its own set of unique gifts, its own way of connecting with and changing with and sharing the power of love. This congregation has a calling. The task of describing that calling will be ever unfolding, never completely set, and yet always worth exploring. So let's circle back to the story that we heard Catherine say in the message earlier. Rabbi Zusha of Hanapol, or Hanapoli, depending on who you ask, was a humble man and a kind teacher, and he was contemplating the end of his life. And he said, "When I come before the throne of judgment, I'm not afraid. God will ask, 'Why were you not more like Abraham?' After all, I can say, 'Oh God, you know best of all, I am Zusha, not Abraham. How then should I have been more like Abraham?' And if God should ask, 'Why were you not more caring like Rachel?' I can respond, 'Ruler of the universe, you made me Zusha, not Rachel. If you wanted me to be more like Rachel, you should have made me more like Rachel.' And should the true judge say, 'Zusha, why were you not more like Moses?' I can respond, 'Oh, mysterious one, who am I, Zusha, that I should be like Moses? But I tremble because I think the Eternal will ask me another question. I believe I will be asked, 'Zusha, why were you not more like Zusha?' And when I am asked this, how shall I respond?" This congregation does not need to be more like another congregation. You do not need to be more urban or more rural or smaller or larger or full of wealthier people or more intellectual or more famous. You don't have to be Cedar Lane or River Road or All Souls or Paint Branch. Somebody else is doing that. Figure out this congregation's unique calling and prepare for whatever changes come with staying true to that mission. You are loving and beloved as you are, and you are ready to develop into being loving and beloved as you will become. Choose a path guided by love, and it will lead to beautiful places. We drink from wells we did not dig, and eat from trees we did not plant. As a spiritual community, part of our task is to muster the hope and creativity we need to grow beyond the horizons of our current experience. We can only be ourselves as we are now, and yet we can imagine what we will become together, and we can be open to the surprise and transformation that will sprout as we welcome future members and future generations. Let us give thanks for the seeds available to us, and let us collaborate as a team with faith and love in nurturing these seeds into fruition. The congregation you yet shall be awaits. Reach for it together in courage. So be it. Blessed be. Amen.